Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've given us this day. So many blessings already, and now the blessed opportunity to be able to get into your word. Please open our hearts and minds as we dig into your scriptures to find the message you want us to receive, and help us to apply that to our lives to be able to grow closer to you and stand firmly upon the foundation you have laid for us to stand on, and that is your word. And help us to have trust and faith in your word as well, so the confidence that can come to us and give us that boldness to share that with others. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. As we continue our Parables of Jesus Christ series, we'll pick it back up in Matthew chapter 13. This one here, we'll be picking it up in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, which is a parable titled as "The Wheat and the Weeds," or the tares, as it says. But here in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24, it reads, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed the tares among the wheat and went his way." Now the tares is another word for a type of weed. "But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, dost not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" Talking about gathering up the tares amongst the wheat. "But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn." I'm thinking, all right, what's all that got to do with Scripture, with the lesson? What is he trying to teach us here? As you know, like if you've ever gone out and planted a garden and then weeds start popping up, and you know that when the plants are down there, you don't want to just yank up all the weeds, because sometimes those weeds have very invasive roots that entangle the roots of the crop that you want to keep in the ground. And you go ripping that weed up, it could rip up the good stuff as well. So you have to be careful how you remove the weeds out of your garden. So we can relate that to our lifestyle, even if you're not a major farmer that would sow vast fields of crop, even in your little weed garden that you might have that's supposed to be flower garden, you understand that you have these problems that pop up. But how can we connect that to the Word? We can look back in the history. There will be a time when he is going to separate the righteous from the unrighteous. And he is going to basically scorch this entire planet and start back over for the millennial period to let things grow again for 1,000 years. So we can attach that to some learning from this as well. And how he's going to take the tares out first is prophesied over in Matthew chapter 24 about how he's going to remove the people from the righteous that will be left behind here to live and dwell during the millennial period. The unrighteous will be taken out. Because where you see in the prophecies where it says taken, that's usually someone who's taken out and taken to judgment. They use the word taken. And we can relate that to this parable as well. So to be able to separate out at the right time the things that he wants and the things that he does not want. Another clue in this is talking about how they will be bound in bundles and burned. That's those that are going into judgment, those that are going into lake fire for eternity. So little things all through there that you can see that, or a hint to things of the past, the things to the present, and the things to the future. The kind of judgments, the way he's going to separate things. And the reason why he's not currently casting judgment upon the whole planet is because there are still righteous among the unrighteous that are here on this planet. that the great cleansing is going to do before the millennial period, where he's going to restore things back to this original state as it was prior to the flood. And then eventually he's going to wipe this entire planet out, as he's going to melt even the elements themselves. But we will be protected. We will have the blessed glory and honor given upon us to be a part of his work, and then go into the eternal state after that other final judgment, where he basically melts all of creation away and creates a brand new heaven, a brand new earth. Just like when you get so tired with that garden that just is not producing, and you just scrape it up, get rid of it, and start again. So much to look forward to in the prophecies. So many little clues, little hints that we see throughout this. So we have a hint of what's going on currently, the wheat among the tares. We have a hint in here about what's going to happen as we enter into the millennial period, the removal of the tares from the wheat going into the millennial period, and then also final judgment coming upon those tares as going into the lake of fire, such as the burning of the bundles into the fire there, as he refers to in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. That new barn that we're going to have, which is going to be the new heaven and the new earth that we'll have to look forward to for eternity, with no more tares being planted in there. All right, let's get right on into the next one here, which is the mustard seed in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. It rolls right on into another parable. It reads, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." If you've ever planted any mustard, or have seen the mustard seeds, as it says, it's a very tiny little seed. But when it grows up, it's a huge plant, to where it's big enough, like he says, that even the birds can light upon it. Such as the small seed that can be planted in us, or that we could plant and prosper in the kingdom of God. Tiny little morsel that can grow and grow. When it is nurtured properly, when it is tended to properly, can really produce a lot. Us looking back in our lives, we might see times in our lives that we've had just the smallest influence on someone, and that influence has been able to grow into quite a life-changing event for them over their lifetime or over several generations. As we go back and look in the histories of the Bible, we see that there's so much back there that could have been considered just a tiny little effort or a tiny little difference one way or another, and then see that difference make a vast change in generations. And that's what he's talking about, how a tiny little morsel, just a one little Bible tract given to the right person, could launch a ministry. It could launch a lot of people being influenced from one little Bible tract, or one kind word given to someone that was at the right moment when they really needed to have just a little boost, and needed to have just a little light shining in their dark world, and how it can really change their lives and be utilized to be a benefit to others around them. It's like I said, even that the birds can light upon it. That is, if we are so strong in our faith and our trust and in the work that we're doing for the Lord, that others can come in and benefit from that, and we can support them as well. So a short parable, but yet some powerful meaning in that, how such a little thing can actually grow into something really great. The next one is the leaven. The leaven, or leavening, as you know, any of you that have done any baking, you put that in there to help process and to cause a chemical reaction in the dough. It makes it raise and has quite an effect. Tiny little morsel, but it can have quite a little effect, similar to what he's relating this to with the mustard seed here. And in this, we're talking about how it can penetrate, how it can influence, as he says here in verse 33. "Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. He didn't explain this one about the leavening, but he gives them a little hint there, a little clue in leavening. So you got to put your thinking cap on, you might say, analyze this one, look into it a little deeper. How the leavening can have such an awesome influence. If you put it in the right place, if you put it and apply it where it needs to be applied, it's going to have an effect. It's going to have a tremendous effect and influence a lot around it, such as leavening does in, as I said, the whole and in the measures of meal, in the proper place. So we need to take what the Lord gives us and spread it around in the proper ways so that it can do the work that it needs to do and have the influence over the surroundings. As it continues, back to verse 34 again. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Another short parable there in verse 44, the hidden treasure. And in verse 45, yet another one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So how can we relate these? This one about the pearls. Devote in everything that you have. If you find something of great value, that is your salvation. Devote everything that you have, your entire existence to that. Because what you have found is so great. That's a real treasure that you want to desire to have. Because it says, sold everything so you could have that treasure. Verse 47 here, another one about a dragnet. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. There again, a little clue into the last days, the final judgments that will be coming about, where he separates the sheep from the goats, as he says in chapter 24. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And shalt cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. All these things to help them understand, to be able to relate, to be able to learn. As he continues, Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. But did they really? Had they really all the understanding? Later they did, but at this time they really didn't. Until they received the Holy Ghost and really gave them a full understanding of what the Lord was teaching them, they may have said, yeah, we understand, because they knew about wheat and they knew about the leavening. They knew about tares. They knew about things that in the world that he was explaining to them. But to really apply that in full understanding of what he was teaching them, even though they said, yeah, we understand it. It's like, okay, we've totally blown our minds. Yeah, we got it. And But he knew that he would give them the understanding at the right time so they could continue the ministry and write so many more awesome books for us to read and to learn from, and the prophecies that he would give them and the further experiences that he would provide them with. As he continues here in verse 51, Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Giving them a little hint of what they have as their future, of more of the things that they will be given in order to turn around and share with all of us through their writings and their teachings. All right, now turn on over to chapter 18. Jumps on over here to some more parables. This is an interesting one about an unmerciful servant. Pick it up in 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. To be sold there would be put into bond, to become a bond servant, where you had to work to pay back a debt. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Forgave him the debt. Had mercy on him. Didn't say, okay, you go ahead and start paying me back. No, he just cleared the debt. Forgave him for it. We can compare that to how we owe so much. We are so accountable for what we have done wrong. We come to the Lord and ask for mercy, and he forgives us completely our debt. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. That's pretty deep when you really think about it. He tells us that we are to be forgiving as he has forgiven us. Over in Matthew chapter 6, the model prayer that he has given us gets into some of these points that he's bringing out. It was after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That debt and debtors, once again, he's bringing out there. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He gets into some details here in verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So he's repeating and teaching in this over in chapter 19 here about how we receive so great a forgiveness when we trust in Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior and get washed in the blood. We should then, in turn, forgive others that have offended us. Those debts that others have, we need to be forgiving of. Those hardships that we could be carrying around, those grudges that we could be carrying around, that anger and strife that was just going to hurt us, hurt our relationship with each other, but most of all, hurt our relationship with God. Verse 35 again, over in chapter 18. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So there will be a time of accountability. You've been given so much. Turn around and give that to others as well. He gave us the awesome example of that as we were speaking of earlier about love. Let's share that. Not just keep it for ourselves and be hateful and angry and unforgiving to others out there in the world. We have the opportunity to share so much. We need to do that. Share it. Pass it on. All right, turn over to Matthew chapter 20. We have one here that's about workers in a vineyard. And in Matthew chapter 20, pick it up right here in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And saying unto him, Because no man hath hired us, he saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These least have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. He gives us a little hint here in the end of it, of what he's trying to teach them there. And what is happening and going on here. When you're doing a work for the Lord, if you're going to get puffed up with pride, if you're going to get to a point where you think you can determine what your reward should be, what is right, what is wrong, how you should be praised or honored for what you have done, it's not in our place to do so. That's the place of the Lord. We should come to Him humbly and receive what He wants to give us. And it is up to Him how much He's going to give us and what He's going to bless us with now and for eternity. We can look around and become jealous when we see other people receiving blessings and we're thinking, well, we've done so well for so long and yet we haven't received that blessing. And boil up in us jealousy and anger and hatred for someone else because they've gotten something that you didn't get yet. Then you just lost out because you had the wrong attitude in the work that you were doing. We've got to be careful with that. We've got to be careful not to try to determine what we think we deserve. Because really, if it gets down to it, we all deserve an eternity in the lake of fire because we're such sinners and have been such sinners. And be very, very thankful that you have the blessed opportunity to be a part of the Lord's work at all, that you still have the breath that's within you. And be grateful for that. And not be jealous of someone else's achievements or someone else's blessings. Because those very things that you are witnessing might be a test to see where your heart really is. Is your heart an interest in serving the Lord so that you can gain things to be able to utilize now, to have the blessings that you could receive from the Lord? Is that your goal? Is your goal to honor Him and bring glory to Him? Or is your goal to bring treasure to yourself? No, it should never be our goal to have rewards. Our goal should be to be as pleasing to the Lord as possible, to humble ourselves and be thankful for whatever you receive from Him, because He has already given us so much and has promised us so much. So don't look around and see the other folks around you that might be receiving a blessing and get jealous of that, thinking, well, I've worked so hard and yet I haven't gotten that blessing, but yet they've gotten it. Well, why? Why? Well, don't be doing that, because then you start developing a wrong attitude. You build up that jealousy and that arrogance and pride that can come along with that jealousy. And so you're on the wrong track. So keep your eyes on the task that's set before us. Bring honor and glory to the Lord in everything that we do. And know that there is going to be so much given to you that you can't even imagine it. And be content with that, to have the opportunity to be a part of the Lord's work. All right, we'll get back into this next time with some further parables, but that's all we have time for now. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, these parables, the mysteries that are within them. Help us to understand what you want to teach us and help us to apply it to our lives, and then also help us share with others. Thank you so much for letting us be a part of your work. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.